Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, Merry Christmas again here on Circles of Change. It's a great opportunity to include on our show a local entrepreneur that's really, really in tune with the business, and that is Diane Trink from Sabino Artisan Chocolates. How are you today, Diane?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
And you've got the day off, right?
Actually, I'll have tomorrow off, and that is the first day I've had in a few weeks.
That's right. Well, congratulations on your business. Let me give a brief introduction. Diane Trink is actually a native of Connecticut who's had a lifetime association and love for chocolate and fascination with food. From the chocolate Easter bunnies from Cran Candy's Castles to watching The Galloping Gourmet with her brother when she was quite young. And while she studied chemistry in college and became an analytical environmental chemist for years, as well as taught high school, the world changed in so many ways after the tragedies of September 11th in 2001. She and her husband, Pete, who worked on Wall Street. Between the two of them, they decided it was time to transition, so they moved to Tucson in 2004, where they first bought the Restore to New business. But when their daughter graduated from college in art and creative writing and then went back to culinary school in Florida, Diane was reintroduced to the idea of chocolate. So, Diane, interesting articles that I've read about your business, the fact that you and Pete actually almost bought the assets from a chocolatier whom you had gone to when you were a child, right?
Yes, exactly. It was Cran's Candy Castle, and it was in the town that we grew up in. And I think he was about a 3- or 4-generation family of chocolatiers. And he was getting older, and his kids didn't want to do the business. Mm-hmm. So Pete inquired a little bit about it. And at that point in time, he was not interested in selling the business to someone who wasn't a chocolatier.
Okay, yeah. Because the feeling that you didn't have already the experience to walk into this.
Oh, absolutely. And at first we were a little irritated and annoyed, but now that we've learned how to temper chocolate and that kind of thing, we can certainly understand why he was very hesitant to go ahead and do that.
So, you know, so this isn't a matter of just buying the equipment and reading their brochure, in other words, is it?
Oh, no, no. People ask me all the time, you know, what it's like to do the chocolate and everything, and it's both art and science. There are a variety of crystal structures that chocolate will be happy to live in, but mm-hmm. the one that you really want for a premium chocolate is only one of the 6 crystal possibilities. So you have to temper the chocolate and basically isolate that one crystal structure.
And so, now, again, you came here from New England, and
yes.
Did you learn the chocolate business then while from here in Arizona, is that correct?
Yeah, we actually did. We started with Ecole Chocolat, and then, as I said, when our daughter decided that she wanted to pursue a culinary career, but unlike her uncle, she wanted to go into the pastry aspect of it. We went to Nutter School in Florida, and he had just finished a professional chocolate class that weekend. And so when we arrived there for her orientation, they still had leftover chocolate.
Uh-huh.
Which was just amazing. So that's what really piqued the interest again.
So, you know, it's the taste test gets you every time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And they, of course, they were beautiful. They were just gorgeous. And Chef Nutter's a world-class pastry chef in his own right. And he's only going to do the best. So they were gorgeous, and they tasted just equally wonderful.
Well, you know, I heard you say the word L'Ecole Chocolat.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine, instead of saying, well, I got my master's degree from University of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
I went to the School of Chocolate.
Oh, yeah. There are so many people. The minute you mention chocolate, their eyes light up and they smile and they're intrigued right away.
So tell me, so what does it like to go to chocolate school? I mean, do you have the chemistry of chocolate as well as the art and design of chocolate?
Oh, yeah, we do. And it starts out with the history and where it comes from. And it was pretty intense as far as all the various things that go into premium chocolate. And it starts with the bean and goes through the entire process of how they make the chocolate, and which is something we don't do, but then we get the finished product and we take it from there and make all the bonbons and truffles that we have in the shop.
So I see. So what you are purchasing then is essentially, is it the nougat that's inside of the chocolates that you then cover with a certain varieties of appearances?
No, we actually do get the bulk chocolate, the little nibs, the cocoa nibs that come from the cacao pod, those go through quite a long process. It's very much like either roasting coffee.
Coffee, okay.
Yeah.
And then the various designs that you have, and by the way, for those folks who are web streaming us right now, you're going to want to go to sabinochocolates.com. And just remember, I know you're quickly going to want to write the address down and go and visit Diane, because these things are so enticing when you look on the screen. But your art and your design around these chocolates, is this your innovation then, Diane?
No, actually, probably one of the people who really started adding all the color to the chocolates is Norman Love, and he's in Florida. And I think the colored cocoa butters have been around for a while, but he really took it to the next level. And then some of the classes I've taken with Andrew Schatz as well, he uses a lot of the transfer sheets that have the colored cocoa butter patterns on them. And we've noticed many people here haven't seen any chocolate like that with all the colors, and they're just so intrigued when they first walk into the shop.
And when I say colors, of course, I have a lovely article that was printed recently about your business. I mean, I see one piece of chocolate here that has little purple daisies on it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, others that are certainly the white chocolates and the reds and the tints and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't just the varieties of the different blends of the dark chocolate to Milky Way chocolate, is it?
No, not at all.
Now, the one thing is, again, I reflect back on the comments about your passion for food in general and also wine and entertaining. I think that's something that people are starting to more appreciate, is the combination of things that go well with chocolate.
I think that's true. We've had a lot of people who will come in and ask about what wines work well with the chocolates, or vice versa. They have a bottle of wine, and what kind of chocolate would they drink or eat with it? And of course, it's like drinking wine too. It depends on your taste, mm-hmm. and what you like. And I recommend sometimes that they try something they probably wouldn't pair with it. And sometimes you're really surprised with what will go with it.
Well, the business that you have now, you know, Diane, you might want to tell us where your new store is located. You've been in business right since March, if that's correct?
Yes, March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so we're almost coming up on our first year anniversary, which is hard to believe. It's been a real whirlwind. But our address is 10110 North Oracle Road, and that is just north of Hilton El Conquistador on the east side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty easy to find. There's a stop sign at El Conquistador Way if you're traveling north. And just continue, and there's a right-hand turn lane. Take that right-hand turn lane, and I'm right there.
Is that right? And your decision to base the business there, was there anything magical about that choice?
It had a lot of the requirements that the county health department,
okay, sure,
you know, said that you need, because that gets expensive, and I thought I'd rather spend the money on chocolate as opposed to, you know, all the structures and things like that that we'd have to go. So we found something that had already been a restaurant and was about the right size and didn't require as much demolition as maybe something else. So it really worked for us. And of course, people ask all the time about, we're named Sabino Artisan Chocolates, but we're over in Oro Valley.
Right.
Well, we thought we would get all the legal stuff done first, which we did, and then we found the location. So that's why we have, you know, we're a little bit across town from
And if I understand correctly, you've named it Sabino Chocolate because you really like to run and hike in Sabino Canyon.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? Why not? Now, do you intend to have your business be one that's going to ship your chocolates at some point in time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've been talking to a few people, and some of the shipping requirements are pretty rigid because we want to make sure that people get them in the best shape that they possibly can
be.
So obviously during the summer we're not going to ship. It just gets way too hot in all the unair-conditioned trucks for the various shipping services. But during the rest of the year we will be able to ship, and we'll just take the necessary precautions, which would mean some kind of insulated box with a gel pack and just cushioned so that the chocolates arrive in the best form they can.
So this must be one day at a time for you, but the opportunity to apply your scientific background, chemistry, packaging, learning, I mean, does it feel like you've been a perpetual student this year?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So what have been some of the ahas that you, it was sort of like, whoa, they didn't put this in the brochure? Anything that really surprised you in the course of the year now?
I think learning, and currently we have one type of tempering machine, and just learning when the chocolate is just right, and you just play around with it a variety of times, and it's very much like when I was a scientist and I was working with the various instruments, and you start to know the instrument and how it behaves and how to get the best analysis out of it. And I think we're having the same thing with the tempering machines. I'm starting to really feel when they're right, and it shows. I had a customer the other day who said, even the chocolate-covered Oreos, she said, gee, these are really crunchy. And she thought it had to do with the cookie. She said, was the cookie stale? I said, no, the temper was right. When you have chocolate in really good temper, you get a really nice snap. And that's what it was. It was the chocolate. So we're getting to the point where the chocolate's just where we want it to be.
Now, Diane, we had the opportunity to have our colleagues at Beyond Bread come on the show, of course, and they're into artisan breads.
Uh-huh.
And they learned the whole business back in Milwaukee on the how to make this really fickle artisan bread, actually, and then came to Tucson. And they realized they had to do a whole nother, you know, refresh and learn the equipment all over and the techniques and so on because of the dryness in the air and the differences in the water that's here.
Right.
Have you experienced some of those kind of things that you had to dial in at the same time?
Actually, for us, it's been kind of nice because chocolate can be pretty finicky, and sometimes the humidity can really wreak havoc with it. And because of our dry climate and the relative stability of the climate, I think it's actually been very nice.
It's ideal.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting then, because there aren't that many chocolatiers here in Tucson that I'm aware of. So you're kind of pioneering in some ways, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
So if we walked into your shop then in the store, in terms of the footprint, how much of is it dedicated to actually the cooking, the preparing, the decorating vis-a-vis the customer greeting space?
The back area of the kitchen area is more like two-thirds of the shop.
Sure.
And that's more, and even that's probably broken up into one-third is storage and, just the utilities and cleaning and that kind of thing. And one-third of the shop is retail, and one-third is the actual area that we work in to produce the chocolate.
And when you say we, who's all included then on your team, Diane?
That's usually my husband or my daughter when they can, but
okay.
Both of them right now have other things that they're doing. And I have a Swiss couple that came in March when I first opened the store, and they had a shop in Switzerland 14 years ago, and he was kind of missing doing it and wanted to know if I needed a little help, and I said, absolutely, and it's been wonderful, and they're here again. They left for the summer and got out of the heat, and then they're back here in the fall helping me with Christmas.
So how fun to have probably, some classic old-world techniques, and maybe even back to that gentleman that you had spoken with back in Connecticut, who came from, if I believe, German heritage, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, that whole slice between Belgian chocolates, German chocolates, Austrian and Swiss chocolates, that still has a very unique flavor and approach to it.
Yes, definitely. So sometimes he looks at the things I'm doing, especially with the color and the more modern flavors, and I think he just rolls his eyes, but that's okay. We just laugh about it. But some of the techniques and things, the way they did them there, I'm learning those too. So it's just been a wonderful situation.
So Diane, the choice of the word artisan chocolate, mm-hmm. that really refers to the fact that these are crafted. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they're all done by hand. And that's why we have kind of the window from the retail space into the back, so you can see some of the work I'm doing. Most of the time, though, because 90% of the time I'm on my own, it's done early in the morning. So in the afternoon, you may see some of the things that I made in the morning. But,
So they're not going to see that favorite skit from I Love Lucy with Lucy and Ethel, with the chocolates coming down the conveyor belt, right?
Oh, they could one of these days.
One of these days.
Yes, that's an enrober.
All right.
And that's a more sophisticated piece of equipment, and at some time that's very high priority on our list, because it'll make my job much easier, because then you have sort of a curtain of chocolate curtain of molten chocolate,
molten
more or less,
yeah.
That the chocolates go through, and as opposed to my hand dipping each individual one, which is what I'm doing right now. So, yes, we will have one of those, and at that point, we probably will have a big celebration where, yes, we do have the Lucy and Ethel machine.
I love it. Well, one thing also, the size of your chocolates, I mean, sometimes we go to these chocolatiers, and the truffles are so big, but yet you've chosen to have a more modest, smaller size.
Yeah.
And I was showing Crystal here in the studio a picture of your store. I said, I think that's to make us not feel so guilty when we eat three of them.
Exactly. This is more a European model.
Mm-hmm.
This is typically the size that you'll find in Europe, and I've had many, many customers that either are European or have been to Europe and have frequented many of the little chocolate shops all in various cities in Europe, and this is very typical of what you would find there.
So that was a very deliberate decision on your part, and was that something you were introduced to at Le Cold Chocolat then down in Florida?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the way most artisan chocolates are doing their chocolates
mm-hmm.
now. If you go, and I've had so many customers who have frequented many of the chocolate shops and many of the people I know through all my classes and everything like that, and they're all very similar. We're all doing, or many of us are doing, similar sizes right now.
Well, Diane, along this journey, I mean, from your shift from being a chemist
mm-hmm.
to then a high school teacher to now find yourself as an entrepreneur, do you think you always had it in you to want to run your own business and do this? Or was this really one of those take a deep breath and just kind of jump in 2004?
Yes. I think between the two of us, my husband's the one who's willing to take that leap. For me, I was standing on the edge of the cliff and I needed the push. So it very much was like jumping off a cliff and scary. But now I think it's definitely worth it. I've had so many wonderful conversations and great customers, and they've been so supportive and kind that it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, and I'm sure there's people that are also were saying to you from your own circles, not unlike mine, because as you and I compared notes, we both moved here about the same time from Connecticut
uh-huh.
in 2004 and did some other things until we started our respective businesses. But did you not have people say, what, are you crazy starting a business in this kind of economy, particularly a retail business?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And how did you manage those voices in your head?
Especially my husband, we've read a lot of books on and stories on people who have started their own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this is the best time to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And it's not going to be like this forever. And the thing that's nice is I think it's kind of similar to Starbucks in the sense that this is an affordable luxury.
Mm-hmm.
That, maybe you can't go out and buy the new car this year, or there are things that you can't do, but you can come in and buy a couple of chocolates and treat yourself and feel really special.
Well, I think the other side of it, of course, is as I had told you before we came on the air, I had quite a surprise. I was in my home office preparing for this segment, and my husband walks in and says, here, we just got these as corporate gifts from one of our clients, and lo and behold, it was a box from Sabino Artisan Chocolate. So I couldn't have been, I just tickled pink, and, you know, your attention to detail with the box itself and the tissue paper and the grid on the inside cover, not that I really would care if I was eating one or the other. They all are just delicious. But you obviously have had some fun in the whole packaging and design side as well.
Well, now that the company that bought the chocolates, that's their box. But they did kind of imitate what I have as my packaging. But we did spend an awful lot of time on packaging. It took quite a while to get the boxes right.
Well, and so that must be also part of your fun too for those corporate clients that you have. To co-create that which they are asking for.
Exactly. It was a lot of fun, and we were thrilled with that they liked the design, that they thought they'd use something similar, and I think it came out beautiful.
I think
they did a magnificent job.
Well, again, for our listeners, we've been speaking with Diane Trink from Sabino Artisan Chocolates based on Oracle Road. You can reach Diane by going to sabinochocolates.com. Also, the office there is the retail store is 520-989-0466. Diane, what are your hours then?
Right now, well, we're finishing up the holiday hours. So typically, we are open Tuesday through Saturday, and that is 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we're closed Sunday and Monday.
That sounds like great hours for entrepreneurs that are probably juggling an awful lot, isn't it?
Oh, yes, exactly. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that...
You're not there.
No, exactly. And I tell a lot of people on Mondays, that's my big production day because I can work in the kitchen, and chocolate doesn't wait for anyone. So I can really get a lot of work done on Mondays.
That's great. And also, for those of you who might be interested, that Diane and her team, they do custom chocolates and special boxes and deliveries from special events, from weddings and bar mitzvahs and corporate gifts as well. So, Diane, all the best of luck to you. Congratulations coming up on a one-year anniversary, and I'd say you're off to the races.
Oh, thank you. We hope so. We're really having fun, and I hope that everyone in Tucson really enjoys them, too.
Very good. Well, Merry Christmas again, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.